A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and alongside me is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello, sorry, I knocked my mic.
Yeah, Tony's so out of practice, he just literally face-planted into the microphone. It has been about 18 months since you've been on a Behind the Glass podcast.
I know, I can't believe it.
Embarrassingly, and quite upsettingly, people have literally been chanting for your return.
Well, I am popular, guys. Yeah. Was it mostly women or?
Definitely not. I think no. We're still at the 99% male audience ratio. But yes, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the Behind the Glass podcast. I'm calling this season three. There's no real sense or logic in that. I just feel like I like a new start. Do you know what I mean? Like I like a new start. And those of you watching on YouTube will know how seriously we're taking this because we've upped our game in terms of studio life.
Yeah, this is full production.
Full production. I mean, it's still just the two of us. I kind of wish we had people behind the camera. Yeah. But no, it's the two of us. But we are in an official now Behind the Glass studio. It's still a work in progress, I'll be honest. A little bit echoey in here for my liking. And we've got to decorate it a bit more. We've got this big shelving unit behind us that I want to put cool stuff in. You know, I want people to send us cool, quirky stuff we can hang there. Maybe get some logos going.
No knickers. Don't send knickers.
Mate, it's a male audience. So all we're going to get is boxers. I don't know what podcast you think this is.
No, some women listen.
Some women do listen. I think they're forced to listen by their husbands or boyfriends on a road trip. But yes, that's kind of our summary. We are back. YouTube, as I say, hopefully you're enjoying our new setting a little bit more. Make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications, because there's going to be quite a few episodes coming from this channel each week. A little bit later this week, I'll be updating you all on plans for Behind the Glass in 2020. But for now, I just want to get back into it because it's been a while, mate. I mean,
we enjoy these.
Yeah, well, we enjoy these, but we caught up a little bit during Drive the World, but I still feel like there's a lot for us to catch up on in general.
Of course.
On a personal level, but also in the automotive world.
Yeah, lots. There will be probably a number of your audience that don't know who I am.
A good point, actually, because my audience has changed a bit.
Did it change a lot?
It changed a lot on the main channel. Fine. But unfortunately, a lot of the guys listening, guys and girls, let's not leave them out, have just been hanging around waiting for the return of this podcast. So maybe they haven't changed too much. But yeah, for anyone that doesn't know who are you, mate?
So my name's Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. I'm a motor dealer. Yeah, prestige one.
Prestige one, bloody hell. Yeah. Are you a bit like Madonna these days? Do you ever reveal your surname?
What?
I don't want you to, but I'm just do you?
Well, people know me as Tony Gravelwood. I mean, that isn't my surname. That's my company name.
For about 6 months when we met, I thought it was your surname.
I know, but you would though, wouldn't you?
You used to send me emails. I was like, who is this Tony? Beep. And then I figured out that was you.
Because you were privately educated, so you just assume that.
Yes, Tony is son of Gravelwood.
Yeah.
Fourth in line for
Lord Gravel.
Yes, for the Range Rover estate. So, look, let's not... We'll do another episode of, how was Tony's 2019? Because there is a lot to discuss. You did lots of things, as did I. But let's save that for another episode. I just want to know what you've been up to this week.
Well, just normal day-to-day buying and selling cars. My job.
Nothing that exciting.
Not really, mate. I mean, yeah.
Is this a tough time of year for the old motor trade?
has been, it's not normally, it's normally busy, but this month has been quieter, okay, shall we say. But yeah, we sell a lot of sports cars, obviously, as most of you know, lots of SUVs. So the SUVs are all right this time of year. Sports cars kind of start to come back next month and then into March again.
What's a steal when it comes to SUV these days? What's like a, ooh, that's how you should jump on that?
You've done me.
I've done you. I've screwed you away now.
Do you know what? Like Porsche Macans used to be really good, but they've come off the boil a little bit now. You know what? There's so much choice out there. SUVs like Range Rovers used to be really good news, but everyone that's had one's got one, and who hasn't has had it nicked as well. So, but you know, like, things have changed. Like, they have peaks and troughs. So Mercedes will have a run, then Audi, then BMW.
Okay.
They're all just fighting for that, because the biggest market in the country, the SUV market, I mean, we've probably said it before, but it's the biggest market in the country. So,
the other one that I'm always intrigued by, what happened to the Stelvio Quadrifoglio? Do you know what I mean? Like, what happened to it?
The same as what happened to the Giulio. No one really cares anymore.
Do they ever come through your neck of the woods?
I've never had one.
No, I don't see them, mate.
No.
So much fuss and noise about them. He's the world's fastest SUV around the Nürburgring.
Isn't the Urus that
now? Oh, yeah, probably beat it, probably.
Or be the SQ8 now, which is basically a Urus with an Audi badge.
RSQ8. Again, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, one theme is that Tony and I do very little research and actually have quite little knowledge.
I have loads of knowledge.
So you think, okay, so you're saying the RSQ8 is currently the quickest SUV on the Nürburgring. Fastest SUV Nürburgring.
I mean, if I'm wrong, I'd be absolutely
done. Oh, mate, RSQ8. Well, really? Done, son.
Yes, boy.
Official time, 7 minutes, 42.2.
Which is not bad.
Dethroning the GLC 63S. I mean, it's a depressing world, isn't it, where Audi are beating Merck in an SUV segment on the Nürburgring.
No one cares.
No one cares. But, yeah. Well, clearly no one else cares about the Stelvio either. So.
No.
Maybe that's a steal. Who knows? If you're into a SUV market and you want something a bit more alternative. I'm really enjoying the deep notes of this new podcasting setup. I need to stop doing it because I keep dropping my voice. Yeah. But it's really enjoyable in our headphones. We're now wearing headphones for those of you not watching us. And so when I drop down low, it's a really nice sensation. I'm sorry for listeners. I'll try and stop that. Okay, well, I just came back from the snow tour.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's why should we don't really speak about that.
No. Well, I thought we'd save it up for this episode because we're recording it a few days after I got back. I still have a little bit of a sniffle because it did get cold. It didn't get that cold, hashtag Greta Thunberg. A lot of, like, a lack of snow. Lack of snow.
And there's something we really need to address.
Well, I was trying to avoid this for as long as possible, but
go on. What was that thing you went in?
Hey. Rain it in. Rain it in, Gravelwood.
Okay.
It was a Citroën C4 WRC replica.
Wait, what do you mean replica?
Okay, so actually legit. So I'll summarize this really quickly. Going on snow tour, I thought, okay, I'll take the 911 Carrera T, you know, because I didn't do much snow last year during Drive the World. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there were a couple of Porsches going, like highly modified Porsches. I was like, this will fit in perfectly. Then I was like, oh, I'm just going to be putting more miles on it. And I've kind of done 911 content. And also, having been on the snow tour briefly previously, I know that everyone bins their cars. I don't want to damage that. So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll pick up like a really cheap Evo or Impreza and just put some stickers on it, make it look cool, and it'll do great on Instagram. And as I'm searching, I type in Evo Rally and up pops this C4 WRC. Now, I know you're not a big Rally fan, right?
No. I think they're the best drivers in the world, mate, in terms of the drivers.
For sure.
100%.
But you don't watch a lot of it? You don't follow a lot of it?
No.
Okay.
The crashes are horrific.
Oh, did you see the one this week in Monte Carlo? I can't pronounce his name, but
he got out.
The last year's champion went off the side of a road on the Monaco Rally at God knows what speed. And
flat
dropped,
out.
I mean, spun about 3 million times. Oh, that was terrifying, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, the C4 WRC was effectively the Mercedes AMG of F1 for rallying in the late 2000s. It was super dominant. Like, this is an iconic rally car. Mm-hmm. And I saw it and I was like, oh my God, that looks good. And the more I researched it, the more I fell in love with it. Basically, it's a 2.0 VTS C4. You'll know that's a rare gem. The VTS back in the day.
I don't know what that is.
I thought as a motor dealer, you'd be like, oh God, you got a good investment there.
I mean, I know what a C4 is.
Yeah.
I mean-
So it had been fitted with, it's basically an official Citroën WRC kit. Citroën commissioned a company in the north of England to make like, I think 10 or 12 kits for promotional use that they put on some cars. And this was one of those kits. So it's a proper legit WRC kit. The entire interior being fully stripped out, suspension fully changed, OZ Racing 18-inch wheels put on, new air intake, ECU tune. Like it was, okay, it's a C4.
But it's a road car with a kit and some stickers.
No. I knew this is what you wanted to do. It's so much more.
Really?
It's actually parked about 150 metres away. If you drove it around the block once, you would get it. Mate, it's not a car with some stickers and a kit, I promise you. It is hilarious.
What gearbox you got in it?
Oh, yeah, the standard one. Six-speed or five-speed.
Manual.
Manual. Keeps going, mate. But, mate, it feels special. Harnesses, rally seats, like, it was perfect for what I did, like, what I wanted it for. And on the snow, mate, it was a dream. And it looked amazing in photos and great in video. But yeah, it needs quite a lot of work doing to it.
I would envisage that rally cars are fairly uncomfortable.
Oh, horrific. Okay, yeah. So I haven't told anyone this yet. This is an exclusive. I went the deep voice again. We were supposed to drive it back from north of Sweden to London because we drove it from London to Stockholm. So we were in somewhere called Arvidsjaur, which is about 9 hours north of Stockholm, which is about 22 hours from London. And I went, no. So I flew a guy out to drive it back for me.
Did you really?
I flew back to London. So I was just like, I can't. Because it's amazing when you're out twatting it and you're pulling the handbrake and you're on a loose surface. But 22 hours on German and Dutch and Belgian motorways, not fun. Not fun, mate.
It couldn't have been that uncomfortable, though, because you're... co-pilot was asleep most of the time.
The whole time. A great friend of mine from Australia called Josh. I mean, in his defense, the sort of one or two times that I jumped into the passenger seat, I also fell asleep because it kind of hums at a sort of like a level that...
seats. I mean, you would just bolt upright like a horse.
Bolt upright, but you're strapped in with harnesses. So you're kind of like, you just...
relax
you kind
yourself.
Of sink into it and it's oh mate anyway I love it and the audience seem to absolutely love it as well. So right now I'm investigating hashtag project C4 rally car and I'm going to see what I can do to make it actually like a real rally car.
So you bought it for the snow tour.
Yeah,
the snow tour's over.
The police are coming for Tony, by the way. Just ignore that if he suddenly gets dragged out of the building.
No, wait, why was that so clear?
Because the sirens cut through the noise cancelling. We're going to really start to bore the audience right now. But there were sirens passing the studio.
I thought they were in here. No.
We've got our headphones on, so we couldn't hear them until they were close enough that the microphones picked up on them. Anyway, sorry, that was an interruption. But yeah, I bought it for the snow tour. I was going to sell it as soon as I got back. But now I'm like, actually, maybe I should try and put a roll cage in it, put a fire extinguisher on it, proper handbrake, proper engine, proper brakes, and see what I can do.
Wait. You was going to sell it?
Yeah, straight away.
Who was you going to sell it to?
I hate you so much. And this is why I did not want to talk to you about it. Well, anyway, I had a great time in it. Someone would have bought it.
You could sell it to the same bloke that's going to buy Paul's Merchant Lager. Because he obviously ain't got no brains.
Paul sent me a photo of his Merchant Lager last night.
No doors on it.
Still in bits. And I was like, are you going to film one of those? What, do you remember Jay-Z and Kanye West did that video in a Maybach with no doors?
Yeah.
I was like, that's what it looks like. It looks like he's literally going for a scrap heap any day now.
It looks like a DeLorean.
Oh, bless him. He loves it so much, though. I mean, let him have his moment, right?
Okay.
So anyway, now we've caught up with what we've been doing over the last week. We're going to take a tiny little 2-second break, and then we're going to come back with our sort of thoughts for 2020, automotive in 2020. What cars we're most excited about, what we're anticipating, just a general chat about the year ahead. So see you in a second.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much.
But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I have actually done some research for the first time ever on this podcast.
You haven't just dropped us in it.
I haven't just dropped you in it. It takes you 2 minutes before. Mate, can you have a think about...
Can you ever think about this?
Who holds the record for the Le Mans 24 hours in 1987? and I've drawn up a list of the cars that I think I'm most excited about. And this is not to buy. This is just like, I'm just excited to see them and experience them. And, you know, I'll kick things off and then get your opinions. And then if you want to interject at any point with... cars from your side, just jump on in. So, I'm almost nervous to say this one.
Oh, here we go.
Aston Martin DBX. A man who's been selling SUVs for the last month.
The car that's going to save the company.
Oh, but I mean...
apparently.
They wish. I mean, they need more than a DBX.
You talk, because I do not want to talk about Aston Martin. I literally
you put
rather,
your foot in it every time, don't
I'd
you?
I'd rather set fire to myself.
Well, but the hard thing is, I love Aston Martin.
I know.
I'm not a fan of this, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think it looks good, personally. Yes, it looks like an Aston, which I think has to be applauded, because like they've somehow managed to keep it as an Aston. And they had to make it, because everyone's making them, and as you say, to kind of keep their foot in the market somehow, they had to build it. But I'm just like, oh, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't interest me. I think it might look a bit fugly once it actually gets on the road. They're really like pushing the off-road prowess, but like so did they. They did the same thing on the Cullinan. Have you ever seen a Cullinan actually off-road? No.
I have actually.
Have you? No.
No. My a good friend of mine, I don't know whether he'd bought it or whether he's buying one, and it was a demo car. He lives up north and he does a lot of shooting. Clay pigeon shooting.
Okay, fair. I mean, but yeah, okay, great.
But,
good on him.
But yeah. That,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I've only seen them on Sloane Street so far.
Me too.
Yeah. Looking so clean. So I think the DBX, the pricing's like 180 or something.
Yeah, it'd be Urus money, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah. It's just that, you know, if you're not getting a Bentayga, you're not getting a Urus, you're not getting a Range Rover, oh, now I'll get the Aston Martin. I don't know how successful it's going to be. I mean, you think they're going to sell them?
I mean... Well, for Aston's sake, let's hope they do. Well, that'll be the end of them. The thing is, 5 years ago, £100,000 for a Range Rover was the top of the tree. That was kind of, if you wanted a SUV and to spend a few quid, that was the one to buy, the big Range Rover.
Okay.
It's now the cheapest one.
Terrifying, right?
But how... much more do you want to spend on a, you know, it's willy waving at that point. Do you know what I mean? Like the Urus, although I don't mind the Urus, I think it's it is a good car. I wouldn't buy one.
It's a good Audi.
Yeah, but it is a good, that exactly, it's an Audi. Yeah, so it's good. And there's still list or over list.
So that's what I was going to ask. These, you know, the Bentleys, because I know the Bentaygas, the bottom's dropped right out of there. You can get them for 95 grand now. Yeah, like yeah,
lost half their money.
So is that so you say Lamborghinis are doing all right with the Urus. Cullinan, I mean, let's not even talk about it. What else is out there? So the DBX, we don't know how that's going to do. The big Range Rover stuff, how's that hot? If you go and get an SVO autobiography, blah, 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 blah.
You've lost loads of money.
Okay.
But not as much as you would if you'd bought a Bentayga.
Yes.
And to drive around in London, which is where you see most of them, I mean, you do 15 mile an hour in London.
Yeah.
What difference does it make if you're in an SVO Range Rover or you're in a Bentayga?
Good point.
It's a waste.
Oh, waste, yeah.
And then you've got the KN.
Of course.
SE hybrid turbo thing.
Yeah.
Which is probably 140, 150 grand, which is a lot.
Sure.
However, Porsche being Porsche, don't push them. They don't make millions of them and then knock 50 grand off them because they can't sell them.
Okay.
They make them to order, basically. You know, the dealers have demos and whatnot, but they don't push them in people's faces. So, but yeah, they still lose money. They're still, you know.
I have to say, I think a Bentayga is a steal at sub 100K.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they wicked cars? Like,
but you have a 3-year-old Bentayga,
mm-hmm.
or you have a brand new Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, like, of course. And you could turn up anywhere in a Range Rover, and it's kind of acceptable nowadays.
Of course.
You go anywhere in a Bentayga, and they're like, oh, here he is. Yeah. Mr. Bentley, oi, oi.
And it's weird that Land Rover had that stigma attached to it 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's now like a Golf. It's like classless. Like, yeah. Okay, you got a Range Rover, like,
just you get, yeah, completely yeah, yeah, hidden. Yeah. It's amazing how they managed to do that and remain desirable at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think, oh yeah, Tony's top tip for the day is basically buy a Range Rover. But maybe a used one.
But yeah, a used one. But honestly, mate, we've said this before, there is a car for everyone now. Like, literally everyone.
Terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it makes them all less desirable.
Of course.
In my opinion.
Of course.
Because there's just one of everything.
Yeah, like Mercedes have just bring this new SUV. I didn't even know about it. It's a GLB.
Oh yeah, yeah, GLB. Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean,
why?
Why?
Who needs it? I mean, well, somebody does, but
it's a GLC. From what I can gather, I've not seen one. It's a GLC with 7 seats.
Yeah.
So what does that compete with? The Discovery Sport, I guess.
Sure, but who cares?
Why? Yeah.
Because for some reason, somebody in some kind of office somewhere went, oh, you know who we're losing to? Oh, no, the Land Rover.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're kind of French and German and very continental. Okay, well, talking about a car for everyone or a car that does everything, let's mention the new RS6.
Which you've stole my thunder a bit, which was one of my cars.
Okay.
I'm looking forward for the year.
So, you know, we've just gone about, you know, big brands, big cars that lose a ton of money. RS6, my first point before I let you run away with it, is it seems expensive. Is it? Go.
It is expensive. So there is a launch model car out now. I know a bit about these, actually. Amazing.
That's why I'm letting you take over. I was having a drink of water.
Because you don't like them. So there's a launch model car out now, which has basically got everything you'd want, and it's about 104 to 106 grand. There is a four sprung yeah model, which is 115, I believe, and that's got everything. It doesn't want to have ceramics, but what do you want ceramics for? They are expensive compared to the old one. They're about 15 to 20 grand more than the old car.
Okay.
However, when you look at the old car, there's still a good one is still mid 40s, 50 grand. A good one with 30,000 miles on it. They will have to be in 3 years, 10 or 15 grand more than that. So the depreciation will be the same percentage wise. It's just that there'll be more money.
Okay.
That's how it works, basically. Okay. So, because everything's bought on finance nowadays.
Sure.
So they just have a bigger balloon on them.
A bigger balloon.
That's just what happened.
Is it worth going and getting one?
I would like one, but I'm not paying £115,000 for an estate Audi. I shall hang on a minute and wait till they're a year old when they're 80 grand, because that's what's going to happen.
Well, what about that E63S that you had? When was that? That wasn't long ago.
Well, this is my point. So you've got that E63S, and what I think at the moment is the best all-round car, the new M5 Comp.
Ooh, yeah, I love that thing.
What a car.
I love that thing. I had that for a week in Bulgaria last year, and oh, mate,
it's
hands
unbelievable.
Down. Unbelievable. Now, and it's 7 cars in one, I think.
Yes.
Just haven't got the boot space, but anyway.
Yes, yeah. But so the RS6 will then probably take that prize. It will be the best all-round car because of the boots. There'll just be a couple of bits better. But it's 110 grand.
Oof.
I've just sold a new shape M5.
Not competition?
Competition.
Competition.
Yeah, so I had a non-comp.
Yep.
And I've had...
Oh, wow. Somebody really revving it up.
It was a motorbike.
That really was someone gunning it past our window. Anyway, so you just...
Not past the window, going the wall. It's a car park.
We're going to have to look at some more soundproofing in here, I think. Anyway, so yes. So, M5 competition, you just sold.
So just sold one. It was similar money to the RS6 new, about 105 grand. So it was a 19 plate car, so it wouldn't have been a year old with 7,000 or 8,000 miles on it. I sold it for 65 grand.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, when I drove it back, when we picked it up, I thought, you cannot get a better car than this.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, mate.
Yeah.
Well, and what a lot of fun to have for that kind of money. But
yeah.
They're going to keep going down there, right? I mean, 65, that'll be 40 in a couple of years.
Okay, so I've got a last of the old shape car coming in now.
Okay.
As we speak, coming in part exchange with 40,000 miles on. It's a 66 plate. And that will go up for sale at 30 grand.
Okay.
So that's half again for a four-year-old car.
So if you're going in and buying a new RS6, which is incredibly desirable, I think it looks great. All the reviews say it's fantastic. It's going to be the best all-round, as you say, but you're paying 115, 120 fully spec'd. You're in for a bad time.
But they're not. So Audi RS cars don't lose the money of AMG and M product cars.
Oh, interesting.
No, they don't. So... If you compare that car in a year's time,
yeah,
it won't be 65 grand retail.
Okay.
Because the old shapes are still that now.
So it should hold a little better.
It will hold a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's all go buy RS6s.
It will still lose money, because I just think they're too much money. And at the end of the day, the manufacturers could put these cars up for what they like. The market determines the value of them.
It's interesting, though, because that previous generation became such a cult car, right? I don't know why or how. Maybe it was the power of social media, but that previous shape suddenly became this really desirable car where I think before that, the RS4 was always seen as a little bit more desirable than the RS6. And I'll be interested to see whether that new shape has that same kind of, you know, desirability, that same mass appeal as the previous gen had.
Yeah, the only problem I see with the older shape car, because the older shape car is still unbelievable,
of course,
is when you get in it.
Oh, because it feels a bit dated compared to more recent Audis.
Yeah, like a new RS4, you get in that, it's got all the virtual cockpit and the different sat nav, and it's all got, you know, all the proper technology in it. Whereas the RS6, and they're similar money now, by the way, there's not a lot of difference between them.
Okay.
So, yeah, it just all looks a bit old.
Yeah, it's the problem with those big German manufacturers is the stuff moves on and gets updated so quickly, like every 2 years.
Yeah.
It's very easy to feel out of date in a car that's really not that old.
For sure.
Whilst Porsche, obviously, I loved my 991 because it felt the same as a 996.
You know,
it doesn't mean, but now they've gone to the whole new generation. But we're going to come back to Porsche in a bit. So my next pick, Ferrari Roma.
Oh, I'm not interested.
Really?
I mean, I love Ferrari.
I know. That's why I'm surprised by your response.
I'm interested in the F8, obviously. I actually got a deposit on one.
Are you?
Yeah, but well, mate, I'm buying one, apparently.
F8?
I mean, I don't know if I want it, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm... So, okay, you've ordered an F8. Why don't you like the Roma?
It's feminine.
Yeah. Yeah
for me.
It's too feminine for you.
Yeah.
It's too soft. It's too soft. It's definitely targeted towards a female demographic, I think.
I think.
But I feel like they went, okay, so Portofino, we've got a lot of our sort of male customers going, oh, it's, you know, it's for the wife, it's for the girlfriend, which Ferrari admit it is. So maybe they went, okay, well, let's build a slightly more elegant, suave version of the Portofino. Here's the Roma. See, I don't think it does.
No, I think it does.
Everyone went nuts for the looks, and I was a bit like, it looks a weird, like a weird Vantage meets F-Type. I don't like those rear tail lights. It looks like a 612 Scaglietti, like from the year 2040.
Like, do you know a what modern I mean? One, yeah.
Like a mod, like I will wait. The reason I'm excited for it is because I want to see it in the flesh.
Do you want one?
I did for about half a day. And then I was like, no, I don't want one.
Good.
But apparently the interior is nuts because it's straight out of the SF90. Mm. So apparently the interior is amazing. But I have a big problem with the current Ferrari lineup and range.
Me too.
I mean, this year, this is something that we're going to have to talk about in another podcast because it deserves its own podcast. But like, what are Ferrari doing / what have they done? Because since we last did a podcast, the two biggest Ferrari fans in any room, Ferrari released 35 new models. I mean, they're rivaling McLaren in terms of, I mean, the one that upsets me the most, I know we're going a bit off track from Roma here, is the 812 GTS.
Yeah.
Okay, just let me rant for 2 seconds. Convertible or roofless versions of the V12 Ferraris have been some of the most iconic, lusted after, special cars that brand has ever made. Let's look at recent generations, the 599 SA Aperta, 575 Super America, 550 Barchetta, Daytona Spider, you know, name it, like the California Spider for the 250. These are like properly special, iconic cars. The 812 GTS was like, oh, by the way, you can get a convertible now.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's a G. I mean, what is that name as well? Like, it's not even limited. It's not going to. And it was released at what? The same time as the F8 Spider?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, by the way, if you want convertibles, they're here. Yeah. It's like, guys, come on. Like, yeah. You're ruining everything that your brand stands for.
Absolutely.
Really killed me. Having said that, would I like an 812 GTS? Hands down, yes, every day of the week. I think it will be amazing. I mean, that car without a roof, dreamy.
Not interested.
Really?
No, it's not special enough. Like, you should get a nail on the head. Like, like every man and his dog can have one if they want.
Yeah, you're buying an F8.
And the biggest problem with Ferrari now, they're not going to like me for this. We're not sponsored by Ferrari.
No, we're not sponsored by. I mean, we love
We love
Go
them.
On. Yeah, that's why I think we're best to give this opinion.
Yeah. So, with a 812 GTS or whatever it's going to be called, you'll be made to buy something to get one.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the game.
It's not on, mate.
I don't think that's hidden anymore.
No, but it's not on.
It's not on that you have to play that game.
Why should you? Like you've bought loads of cars before, obviously, mm-hmm. to be considered for one anyway, and then they try and slip another one in for you to buy it. Like with the Pistas as well. Like how many people I know that bought Pistas?
I could have had a Pista as well.
It's that same thing. Like, yeah, you can't have a Pista, but oh yeah, you can have one if you buy a GT4 Lusso. No thanks.
And the thing is, like, they're like going head to head with each other because you've got that one side, which is we want to control our brand. So we want to, you know, sort of limit supply. And yes, you've got to buy other models to rake your way up the ladder. But now they're making so many models.
You can't keep up.
You can't keep up. And like to play that game, to play. So it's conflicting ideas or ideology. So I'm not a fan of the current situation. I think the F8, it does not excite me in any way.
No.
Obviously, I haven't driven one yet, but Shmi, did drive one in Dubai on a day when we were all out together. And he just said it's just a soft pista or a soft but quicker 488. And that's not what I'm looking for my Ferrari. The word soft just...
Which is what someone else told me that drove it as well. He said it's a pista for the road.
Yeah, basically. You know, like, okay, fine, speed, great, but you need character. You need, like, okay, to go back to my C4 WRC, you know, arguably slow, crap, 80,000 miles on the clock, like, but I was smiling all week.
Yeah.
All week I was smiling, whilst I would worry that you would jump in and out of an F8 to pop down to Tesco's and you could be in a Prius and you'd have the same sensations.
You were smiling all week in your Citroen that you got someone out there to bring it home.
Yeah. Good point, Tony. So the Roma, we're differing. Like, I'm excited to see it, to get in it, to have a go. Would I buy one if I had the money? Probably not. Would I buy one if I had to be able to get the F8 Pista? Probably, yes.
Yeah.
And I would have one over a Portofino for sure.
Yeah. And Ferrari have become like McLaren because they floated on the market.
Yeah, so they have to. They just got to hit the numbers now.
Their businesses, they're just, yeah. You know, I think their production's gone up from sort of 8,000 or 10,000 to 15,000 to 18,000. I mean, it's double, mate. I mean, it's not on.
It's worrying, but then for me, you get an SF90 that comes along and kind of saves the day a little bit in terms of still being super desirable, kind of cool, kind of out there, quicker than a laugh. Like that for me remains, okay, cool, you guys have still got it. It's just the smattering of other crap that upsets me a little bit.
But and that's cheap, that car, that SF90.
Oh my God. I mean, I think they shook up the... They did. That was... Anyway, we're going to save this because okay, that's fine. Definitely a future episode. If you want to hear us really nerd out about Ferraris, stay tuned. Make sure you are subscribed or following us, however you're listening to us. Because yes, Tony and I will do a Ferrari special where we will bore the socks off of anyone that doesn't care about Ferraris. But let's move on to keep this podcast on the go because we've already been chatting about Ferrari for a bit too long. I want to talk about another sort of GT car, though, which is the updated Jaguar F-Type.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
I haven't seen one yet.
Have you seen a picture of one?
Yeah, I've seen a picture. Okay. Yeah.
They haven't hit the road yet.
Okay, fine.
So deliveries, I think, expected mid-2020. Okay. What do you think about the way it looks?
It looks better than the old car.
Do you think?
For sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, it's evolution, isn't it? Is that the right word? Yeah.
Evolution. For anyone who hasn't seen it, the back remains almost identical, exactly the same. But the front is sort of been squished down, kind of looks almost elongated, a little bit more E-type-y than F-type-y. I'm struggling. It's a car that's obviously very dear to my heart, having owned that previous F-Type for 18 months or so. I loved it. It was amazing. I have so many memories with it. And it's the car that when people say, what car do you miss the most? I say F-Type. So when I heard that the new one was coming and it was revealed, I was like calling everyone, order me one, get me on the books. And then I had a few days to kind of look at it and mull it over. I'm not convinced it is actually that good looking. I think it's maybe lost something. It looks a tad more generic to me, which maybe I haven't seen a good spec yet. Maybe once I see them on the road. But in photos, I'm a bit like,
I think it looks good. The problem is with cars now is that they always lose their character everywhere. Every new car that's ever built now loses that little bit more character because unfortunately they're built by accountants. Well, they're built by engineers, but what I mean is the budget is done by accountants.
Oh, and regulations.
Of course.
And CO2 emissions and all these things. So, you know, the F-Type, rear-wheel drive, you know, thank God they're still doing, by the way, it's not the top spec, but they do still at least offer a V8 rear wheel drive. I mean, they could have gone for a, you know, four cylinder or, you know, so thank God they're still doing V8. Jag, you know, I have to wave my little Jag fan club flag for that. But yes, I'll be intrigued. I thought I was definitely going to have one. I was like, this is dreamy. They're priced kind of okay. Maybe a good replacement for the Carrera T. But I've just come off that boil a little bit. I think I need to wait until I've actually spent some time with one.
The thing is competition as well. Like in that price bracket, mate, there's so many cars you can buy for that money.
And the car that I really fell in love with this year, which has killed me, and I know you're going to really just give me daggers, is the Bentley Continental. Mate, don't. That car is brilliant. And now whenever I look at any kind of other GT car, I'm like, well, I just want the Bentley. Like I'm getting the F-Type because I can't afford the Bentley.
No, I get it. I do get that. I do. And the V8 car, if it's not out already, it's imminent.
The Bentley V8?
The V8.
Yeah, it's out. It's out.
It's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a proper car.
Oh, mate, it's a proper car, but like so comfy, so luxurious, great presence. I think looks good. Does everything you need to do from that kind of car. Okay, you're not going to take it to a mountain road and throw it around a corner, but as a daily smoker... Oh my God, it's brilliant. Do you know of any fantastic PCP or lease dealers on those cars?
Let them come out for a minute, mate.
You say this, they hold so well, mate. Okay, fine, you spec one up, it's 220, 230, whatever, and they're now down at 160. But then that's where they are because the previous shape, they're still up at 120 or 130.
Okay.
So, you know, they're not flying down. So for some sucker like me, my hands are tied. Like, I need it to be like 90.
That won't be long. It'll only be, but yeah, Bentley will just say, right, we've decided to sell. They'll obviously just slow production down a bit, but maybe. Once they realise that they need to sell some more cars.
I think they're desirable. I think people are, I know you knock them, but I think people really like that, they're good that
cars.
New shape.
Yeah, we sell them. They're good cars. Yeah. I wouldn't buy one, but like, I wouldn't buy one personally, but that I've got customers that really like them.
Yeah. Right? But you've been in the new one. You've driven the new one.
I've been in the new W12. Okay. I haven't driven the V8, obviously.
Sure.
But yeah, I've driven the W12 as well. I've driven the W12 as well.
Because it's night and day to the previous Continental.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, F-Type, I'm just... withholding judgment, I think, for now. Shall I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is a query. This is a questionable one. Mercedes One, Mercedes Project One, Mercedes Hypercar.
Is that coming?
Supposedly. So this is... What have you heard anything on the grapevine about this?
Well, I heard last year, can't remember when, that they was potentially not making it. Where I have a friend... That's
well done.
First of all, that's shocking that I've got a friend. I have a friend that's had a deposit on one, a large deposit as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he said that they might be giving it back to him because they might not even be making it. But that's the last I heard.
That was the last I heard as well. Mm. They were scrapping it because they couldn't get the F1 engine to work as a road car.
As a day-to-day.
Because it idles too high. It's got to idle at 9,000 RPM. So traffic lights and things like that just wasn't possible.
Yeah.
So then I then heard that they sent an email out to every prospective customer saying, what engine would you want? We'll build any engine. We just can't do the F1 engine. But then I see all these reports and they're posting about Lewis Hamilton standing next to the car and blah, blah, that it's coming, that they've figured something out and it's coming. So
interesting.
I don't really know. Like, it would be, if it's what it was supposed to be, which is an F1 engine with F1 tech bodied as a road car, great.
Yeah,
I mean, amazing. Great. Yeah. But for me, it seems a little bit hypothetical at this point.
Yeah. And will they sell them if they say, okay, we can't put the F1 engine in it now?
I think people will go like, yeah, not fast. Yeah. That was the selling point, right? Wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to bring that one up because I saw it on a list of cars to be excited about. And I was like, how is that still here, like 4 years later? Well, talking about things that we should discover, which could or could not be special enough, the new GT3.
Will that be this year or
surely
next year?
The end of this year, don't you think?
Yeah, it'll probably come next year.
Yeah, so revealed sort of November, October, November.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to Mr. GT3. I mean, let's face it. Over the last 2 years, you have become the flag flyer for GT3 Porsche products.
Yeah, I just think they're the best, mate. They're just, you know, I honestly just think they're the best cars.
Do you have a 992 these days?
No, I did have.
You did, right?
Yeah, I had one for about 4 or 5 months, but I sold it now. So
are you excited by the idea of a 992 GT3?
But yeah, but if it's as good as the 992, it won't be as special. That, again, I hope they don't take the character out of it. Because obviously the GT3 that I've had and then the RS that I've got now, that it's got that in abundance. Whereas the 992 was just a really, really good car. It was in a straight line, it was probably just as fast as well. I don't think there was a lot in them speed-wise. But yeah, it was all these modern cars, but they're just too good.
Too soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, too usable, too easy. Like, and it's not what I think a lot of people want. And that's why I think so many people are going to the sort of modern classic segment or buying older stuff because it feels like something. It feels like you're driving. It feels like you're putting some effort in.
Yeah, yeah. And the engine's a big difference as well. Obviously, I think the next GT car will still have the GT engine. I've got GT4 coming. You know that, right?
I think I did know that. Congrats.
Yeah, that's coming in March.
Are you excited?
Well, I had the previous gen that I didn't really like that much.
Yeah, I remember. That's why I'm asking you the question.
But yeah, we'll see. If I don't like it, I'll sell it. But
I'll have a go.
You can have it.
Yeah, no, I don't want it. I'll have a go.
You can have a go, yeah. No problem.
Yeah, we need to talk about my Carrera T after this, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to get out of it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, final car on my list, the Toyota Yaris GR4.
You do come up with some weird stuff. You just pick the weirdest stuff on the list and go, he wouldn't have thought of that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
What do you mean then, random? This is the most exciting hot hatch for the last 10 years.
260 horsepower.
Mate, it's a homologation rally car. Yeah. You know me and my rally cars these days.
Yeah.
This thing is mega. I am so excited by the idea of this thing.
Limited run?
They're not putting a number on it, I don't think.
It's a lot of money.
Is it?
It's 26 grand.
I paid 30 grand for an Abarth. Remember that?
Oh yeah, you did.
So I'm not afraid of spending big money for a hot hatch.
Yeah.
I don't think it is big money. I think for what it is, I think for the potential of it, it's a bespoke build. It's being built in the same factory as the LFA. Like, this is not a on the freaking line, you know, Toyota factory. This is a real bespoke, specific, for fundamentally a homologation car, which we haven't seen for a long time. Let's hold our breath until we've driven it. But I do know a few people that went out to the launch. Ollie Webb was there doing a professional job and said it was great.
When
so
he's
much
not
fun.
Dubai on holiday, he's doing.
When he's not Snapchatting Nyla. Yeah, if you're listening, Ollie, we're watching you. We know you.
We know exactly
you
part-timer. What you're doing.
Oh, I just got to take a little holiday before my next race. Okay. So I think that is going to be a lot of fun. I'm big on the hot hatch thing right now.
Manual or auto?
Manual.
All manual.
All manual, mate. Fun. Limited slip diff available, all of this stuff.
Okay.
Gets silly.
Front drive.
Four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive?
Yeah, in a Yaris.
Oh,
mate, it's
quick.
Special. It's
yeah, that'd
super
be fast.
Special. Like, this is not messing around.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Okay, stay tuned.
So I've got one for you.
Oh, go on.
The 992 Turbo S.
Oh, four off, mate.
Mate, what's
I mean, you gave me a hard time about Bentley Continental. Oh, it's going to have 800 horsepower and be so usable on a day-to-day level.
That's exactly... Have you read the script?
They sent me the press release last week. Are you genuinely excited
yes.
about that?
Yes.
The spy shots for the last 2 years. Oh, look at it. It's turbo, the 992.
And I've got one more.
Go on.
Taycan. Taycan.
Taycan. So interestingly, I'm spending a day with a... Anyway, I'm spending a day with it next week. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Why are you excited about it?
Because it's going to change the automotive electric world. I think it will be the beginning and the end of Tesla.
Interesting.
I honestly think Tesla, as we know it in 5 years, will be... a battery supplier.
Okay.
So Elon Musk, he's a very clever man.
Of course.
Of course. I think that's the road they're going to go down. And obviously we know the whole reason why Tesla was built really was just to, look, guys, we need to make electric cars.
Let's get on it.
Let's get on it. And I think now the Germans have got on it. Well, there's loads of electric cars coming now.
Well, exactly. And so my biggest problem with the Taycan, the electric Porsche, is its price.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
I mean, they have... I don't know if they've done it on purpose, but, mate, that is unaffordable to 99% of the world.
But it's no more expensive than the Tesla.
If you get the 100D, you know, the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can get a Model 3 for 35 grand or whatever it is.
You can. And Porsche will release a normal car.
But you say this, what normal Porsche... Like, the whole thing about Porsche was it was always the relatively affordable sports car, right?
Okay.
You know, take a GT3 versus a 488.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was always supposed to be an attainable luxury product. And correct. Cayenne, Macan, etc. The Taycan, I'm going to go Taycan, is aggressively highly priced. And maybe it's their first, blah, 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 but, you know, all the revenue. But, like, it's so almost elitist in its pricing strategy. That's what frustrates me. Because it's like, here we go. We're the first. We're the sports car manufacturer making an all-electric sports car. Like, it is, as all accounts, it's a sports car. But for the few, you know, if it was a 115 grand car plus, I would have gone, okay.
But there is one of them. There's a 4S.
Oh, yeah, which is a bit cheaper.
And then there's a turbo, which is about 15 plus options, and right. then there's the Turbo S,
yeah,
which is about 150 including options.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's expensive. Even I wouldn't buy that one, but they'll, you know, give them time, they will sort it out. And I believe the next generation Macan will be all electric.
See, I have a fundamental issue with this all electric thing, where I'm totally for it in the city. Totally for. I think cities should go all electric. I think we should all have a screw congestion zone. It should be electric zone, and we should all be little hot hatches. There's the new Fiat 500 electric coming.
The Corsa,
mini electric Corsa, Peugeot electric.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Genius. Love it.
Yep.
Long distance, I got a big question mark over it, because range, fuel, like topping up, the grid couldn't handle it. Like the national grid in the UK couldn't handle if we all switched to electric. And also, it's a bore. It's impractical.
Yep.
To have to pull over and charge is impractical.
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, when it comes to sports cars, yes, initial acceleration, great. Weight is always going to be an issue. And fundamentally, no one wants to go racing in an electric car. No, no one does. Look at Formula E. As fun as it is as a day out, it's not. People aren't watching it on TV. It's not aspirational. It's a great day out in
and
your city.
It's not fast.
So I know there are lots of other technologies, and we need to get someone in here for one of our future episodes who's in this space, because there's hydrogen, there's renewable, there's hybrids, there's all of these different techs being looked into. And I just feel like in 15, 20 years' time, we're going to look back and go, don't you remember when everyone started building electric cars? A bit like Blu-ray versus, what was it called? HD, DVD?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Betamax versus VHS?
Oh, I don't think that electric, I think it's a short-term fix.
Agreed.
I don't think it's the, that's the problem solved now. I think it's, let's do that for now, because we need to think of something else. Because if you think of, I was talking to a friend of mine at Audi the other day, and they, all these Audi dealers, because they've got a couple of electric cars coming, they've got to build these segregation areas for the batteries. And if they get exposed to water, or when they're 8 years old, they can self-combust and cause fires.
Mate, what are you going to do? You know, what if you get, what can you going to take a Taycan in 10 years time that sits there rotting away in the corner of your lot?
So they've got so these electric cars at the moment, all of them, I believe, have got the full electric cars have got an 8 year lifespan. So after 8 years, as far as I'm concerned, they're not worth anything. You've got to change the batteries. Yeah. The batteries are 30 grand.
I mean, that's the thing, I can't say D words today.
Depreciation.
Wow, I hope I'm not developing some kind of stammer.
You're not turning to me.
The depreciation, I think, is hectic. Like, we're talking about RS6s. Like, oh my God, a Taycan, a Tesla, like, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. So,
well, Tesla already know there's a problem, because they don't buy used cars, mate.
Well,
there you go. They don't buy their used cars.
You say he's a clever guy.
Elon Musk.
He's not messing around. No. So that Tiger thing, like, I get it. And yeah, you'll see them smoking around and go, oh, that looks cool. But am I excited by it? No, I'm frustrated by it more than anything. And let's face it, we all know the 911 electric is coming.
Hybrid.
Like, we know. So the hybrid first, but they are going to do an all electric as well, right?
Yeah, so the 992's been built so it can accept batteries.
Yeah.
There's a platform for it. So either the generation 2 992 or the next 911 will be hybrid of some sort.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be full electric, but it'll be a hybrid.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think unless you have any others that you are thinking of that you're excited for this year, no?
Not really.
Shaking your head? No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, hopefully some stuff will come along and surprise us. That's always the fun part of the year.
Yeah.
When there's stuff that we can react to.
Yeah.
Geneva's not all that far away, even though no one's going. In terms of manufacturers or people.
No, they're not, are they?
No, everyone's bailed. But we'll do a review of that once it's happened.
I don't think I'm going to go to any motor shows this year, mate. I'm not interested.
Well, you can see on the internet 2 weeks beforehand, so what's the point?
And you've seen one, you've seen them all. I mean, it's all the same.
Yeah, yeah. I am going to go to Geneva this year, for sure. But apart from that, I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, yeah, I think that's probably a good moment for us to bow out and to draw a close to our first podcast of the year, season 3.
I think we've done all right.
You know what? It's been great.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be back.
And me.
I'm loving the new environment, the new setup. A few technical glitches along the way, but we can fix all those, you know.
Some heating would be nice.
Some some heating, some tea and coffee making facilities, but I didn't have much time to get this set up before. Oh, you know what I just noticed for YouTube viewers? There's a little Taycan there, a little Taycan model on the shelf behind us.
You know what I've just noticed?
Go on.
A bottle of beer.
It's non-alcoholic. Drive safe, people. Don't drink and drive. Yeah. Don't drink and drive. But in all seriousness, if you are watching us and you can see this shelving and you've got stuff which you think you want to send us that we can have, I mean, I guess it is free advertising, but also it's nice to decorate the space. Get in touch and I can let you know an address to send it to. We want to make this look really, really cool and have loads of different bits and bobs there. And then, of course, there will be guests. Guests will be coming. Tony and I, your firm fixtures, your regular hosts, we'll obviously keep bashing out the episodes week by week, but we're going to be bringing different people in, whether it's YouTube, YouTubers, racing drivers, industry intellectuals, or just people you've never heard of.
Yeah, let's bring some intelligent people in.
I think that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We don't know many, but we'll find them.
No. But there must be people in the industry that have got a bit of sense. Not
yeah.
Us.
We'll just have to sit here quietly whilst they...
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of exciting things planned. As I say, there'll be another episode midweek where I'll be talking you through a few more plans for this podcast in 2020. But for now, thank you for tuning in. As I say, if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, turn on notifications, give us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, and if you're listening to us anywhere, kind of do the same in whatever way you can. 5-star reviews are definitely welcome. We love those, don't we, Tony?
Yeah.
Love those. And then feel free to share on Instagram, Twitter. Let the world know Behind the Glass is back in a whole new way, back stronger than ever before. Season 3 is going to be fire.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, catch up soon. Adios, people. Bye bye.